Jeff Walmsley of MothmanLives.com and co-author of Mothman Facts Behind the Legend, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Well, let's not stand on ceremony, mate. Let's start the show.
Go ahead, rip on me some more.
No. I was going to say, you know, well, this is really fast.
Like, you know what that is? I'll pimp them. I don't care.
Yeah,
who? I'll pimp them. Cataclysm.
Wow.
From Canada. And you know what? That reminds me, if you guys want to give me just 2 seconds for this.
Yeah.
Cataclysm's from Canada, and another band that was from Canada that I really love is a band called Voivod.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday night, when we were, like, getting ourselves ready to, be, like, do the biggest thing of our lives, pretty much, and we were so excited and we were so nervous, a real dear person to me passed away by the name of Dennis D'Amour.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the guitarist of the band Voivod, who I've been listening to since I was throwing a paper bag over my bike when I was like 12, 13 years old, and a lot of the days I was out there riding around, I was listening to Voivod, and up to this day, I've always loved Voivod, and I'm glad I had the pleasure to actually see Voivod play a couple of times. I know I put on the website, I only saw him once, but I remembered I went and saw him a few years before that. Amazing guitar player, amazing person, a real true artist, a true visionary on the instrument, and it really kind of knocked the wind out of me when I saw that. So any of you guys out there that listen to Ghostly Talk, that listen to Voivod, I don't know if that's going to be too many people, but, you know, pay your respects, because the guy really, in my opinion, did a lot for hard music, heavy music, to stretch the genre even further. So, you know, rest in peace, brother, and let's move on. Let's get going here.
Thanks. I was going to say that even whether we're during breaks, whether we're just starting to go on the air, mm-hmm. things like that, we are in the chat rooms. Well, Will's in the chat room anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go on the chat rooms. If you go to pioneer.rolo.net or www.ghostlytalk.com, if you have an account, sometimes you can reuse the little link that says IRC chat.
Mm-hmm.
So on ghostlytalk.com or on pioneer.rolo.net, that one's a little more forgiving. Anybody can get in that one. you can get in the chat rooms and chat with Will and all the rest of the gang,
mm-hmm.
Who are all chatting
and talking about
Ghostly Talk.
About
laughing.
Laughing
at us. Yeah.
Making fun of us while
making
we're doing
fun
the show.
Of us while we do the show. Sure.
Marcus, you're still there with us, right?
Still here.
All right, we got that EVP after we had to, like, throw a penny in the computer and make it work again, but I think we got it here. Will, do we have it queued up?
Wait a second.
Oh, he's downloading it right still, now. He's grabbing it down
okay.
from the email.
There
we go.
It's in there.
Why don't we, let's just do like we did before. Let's just check
all
this
right,
thing out.
Let's play it. I want to hear that one more time before
yeah,
we talk
okay,
about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just hang out one sec, Marcus? I want to hear yeah. this once again, because that was insane. Do it again. First of all, that's a long EVP.
Yeah.
I do hear the harmonic generator thing.
Yeah.
And it gives an interesting quality to the EVP. But this EVP is definitely there. I can't make out exactly what it says, but the first phrase sounds like something yourself or something myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a single syllable, and then there's a long thing go on.
Yeah.
What do you hear, Marcus? What is there?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. With that type of EVP, it's clear, it's there, but, you know, especially the last part, I have no clue what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something but, definitely there.
Yeah. The first part, the closest I could come to deciphering it was help us out.
Okay.
And that's about, you know, all that's what I heard, and that's what the other people have heard it, have heard.
Okay.
And, you know, the rest of it is completely garbled. I don't know what it says.
Let's hear it one more time. I really want to hear this. I just want to hear it again because it's so cool. Go ahead, Will. It sounds like a female voice. It's got a
yeah,
it's got a higher
yeah,
female.
Kind of does.
It's got a female quality to it. There is something. Yeah, I know I share everybody's opinion here. I can't really understand what's being said, but the
I do hear help us out. But I heard, you know, something myself is what I thought I heard
yeah,
at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, though, I'm on cordless headphones, and I get
yeah,
I hear static the entire
yeah,
time.
See, it's coming
yeah,
through these headphones.
It almost clear, sounds like someone that's autistic speaking.
Yeah.
Or someone that's, you know, can't hear, and they're using sound vibrations to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing that, you know, the idea, and I know we've talked about this before, Marcus, on email and stuff like that, I've always looked at EVPs in the same manner as spirit photography as far as, well, catching stuff and how entities of some sorts would have to really generate a lot of energy in themselves to manifest themselves in front of a picture, for example, or even manifest sound. It, now, I know that, you know, some pictures, you know, there's orbs, there's all these different types of things we see in pictures, and, you know, there's, you know, studying EVP for as long as we have now, you hear all these different types of qualities or different types of EVPs, okay? Now, it seems logical to say that, like you just, and you just mentioned it sounds like somebody who may be autistic, slower. But if they're really struggling to get their voice out and punch through this veil we talk about, it may not be the easiest thing for them to do.
Well, what I'm thinking also is, because this seems to be made up of the harmonic, the frequencies in that tone that you play. The,
yeah, you nailed it, yeah.
And so it seems to be using that energy to its advantage. So perhaps they're learning as well how to use the equipment that you've assembled and put together and brought to bear on the subject to actually communicate. Because that was quite a number of syllables there.
Yeah. And that's what shocked me. I'm sitting there in the middle of the night with headphones on listening and emailing and doing stuff, and all of a sudden that thing came on, and you know, I just about fell off my chair.
I would think so. So what happens is with this kind of thing, that's very encouraging because you're experimenting with some pretty hardcore equipment.
Oh yeah,
and you've got the frequencies that you experiment with. You've got the special microphones that, you know, you've done several different models of trying to improve that use the silicone and the
beryllium
crystals and the magnetism. So yeah, you've got this amazing whole branch of gizmos, ghost hunting gizmos, that perhaps it's a lot like when you're scanning your AM dial and you
yeah,
just barely can hear maybe two stations on the same frequency,
uh-huh,
or you can just barely hear even a single station, but it's just too far away, or the skip's not working quite right, and
mm-hmm,
you're not getting it. And, you know, maybe it's just the equipment that you use can pick up things that otherwise would have been missed,
mm-hmm,
is what I'm starting to think of. That's what it sounds like to me. Like maybe if you hadn't been playing those tones, you'd have never heard that. Or maybe if you weren't using the prototype microphone, that would have never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would have been totally missed if you were using a regular Shure microphone like we use. Oop, just pipped Shure.
Oh,
sorry. Didn't mean that. I mean expensive microphones that we use. perhaps they would have missed it because, you know, they're designed for obviously human voices and vocals,
yeah,
or they're designed for instruments, or they're designed for, you know, whatever it is they're supposed to be recording. Well, yours is designed for EVP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe you were picking up stuff nobody else would have picked up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind when I started designing it and experimenting with it. I've been doing this for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory that I tend to lead toward with EVPs, is that non-physical entities or spirits or whatever you want to call them on the other side are able to affect and modulate electrical and magnetic energy and sometimes molecular kinetic energy in the air. And they do this by manipulating subtle energies. Subtle energies are like life force, chi, orgone energy. There's a lot of different names for it. It's what everything is made of. It's where the source of all energies come from.
Mm-hmm.
And it exists on their side, and that's mainly the way that, you know, the energy that they use, they can manipulate. If they use that energy somehow, I don't know how they use it or how they would use it, and manipulate energies on the other side of the veil or, you know, through the veil, then they can affect magnetic recordings, electrical fields. That's where light flickers on and off, and, you know, sometimes in hauntings, batteries get completely drained because they're tapping into energy sources, because I think they use energy on this side as an amplifier of some way.
And we hear that all often. I mean, geez, it seems like every hunt we go on or any investigation we go on, somebody always seems to lose power in something.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get cold spots, and that's kinetic energy in the air, you know, that's being sucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I know, it seems, as many times as I've seen it, too, it's like, this is not a pattern. I mean, I'm sorry, this isn't just a coincidence anymore. This is obviously something that's going on, because we always see people losing power, and we always charge our stuff up completely with backup batteries and all that fun stuff, and somebody mm-hmm. always seems to have a piece of equipment go dead.
Yep.
It can't be a coincidence anymore. I'm really starting to lean towards, okay, there's something going on here. There's definitely something going on in the environment like we've been talking about.
Well, all I know is with my camera,
mm-hmm.
how many pictures did I take at the wedding that we went to?
Oh, yeah.
You know, a couple hundred.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, we go out into a cemetery and with freshly charged batteries, you know, equipment failure. Or batteries are drained in five pictures, you know, that kind of thing. Under one set of conditions, you get one result. Under a different set of conditions, you get another.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not normal.
Can we please talk about this, guys? I really want to talk about this piece. I have been waiting since I got this package to try to phrase out this monolith description
well,
of this
first,
piece of equipment.
I don't blame you, and I'm glad you agreed to talk about it, Marcus, because
Thank
this
you.
Thing is insane.
Yeah.
It's a little odd looking,
and
it's got a name that goes on forever. Read the name of it.
Here's the name. The Silicon Beryllium Subtle Energy Transducer. Okay, now let's explain this first. Marcus told us a while ago that, gentlemen, I have a package coming for you.
We're thinking TikTok.
Yeah, okay, we're thinking, okay, he's going to send us some videos, you know, okay, cool, hey, we love getting mail, it's great. It's a special piece of equipment, and we're like, okay.
Ooh, I'm thinking reel-to-reel tape recorder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
a bat player or something cool, all right, hey, all right. So, you know, you email me, Marcus, and the package has arrived, Scott. I'm like, okay, all right, so I waddle on down to the post office and hit the P.O. box, and I hit the locker and open it up, and there's this box. Big box, too. Not huge, but, you know, good-sized box. Wouldn't fit in our little P.O. box. So, little micron, little mini shoebox thing.
Shoe
yeah,
box, yeah.
That fits baby shoes, right? You know? So, they're loving us, too, because everything we get is, like, too big for the P.O. box. And they have to put it in the locker. They love me over there. So, I pull this box out, you know, and I grab it, and I'm like, Magnum P.I. Ding, 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 ding. Grab the box, run out, put it in my car, in my trunk, actually. And then I come home. I open up this box, and there is a tube. A cardboard tube. I'm like, he sent us a cardboard tube. I've always wanted one of these things, right? Thank you, Marcus.
This is really well made, too.
This is a heavy-duty tube. Cool.
It's well packed tube, too.
Very well packed, yeah.
Inside the tube.
Lots of fake popcorn in there.
The
cushion, the impact.
Yeah.
From, you know, the gorilla at the post office going, throwing the box. So I'm like, okay, wait. I look at the tube, and I'm like, I'm going to take this tube. I'm going to look through it. I'm going to throw it at people. I'm going to beat Doug over the head with it. This is going to be great, right? And then I look in the tube. I'm like, wait, there's something in the tube. What could this be? So,
yeah,
I noticed there's a cable hanging out of the tube, too. I'm like, there's a cable.
You plugged the tube in.
I can strangle Doug with that. That's cool. So, you know, I'm getting all these great ideas on how to kill Doug. And so,
I wasn't loving the tube at this moment.
You're like, I don't want to look at this tube. You want to murder me with
dumb tube. I don't like this tube.
So I take the tube and and there's something in there, so I slide it out very slowly, and it's wrapped up in bubble tape. And I open it up, and there is the silicon beryllium subtle energy transducer. I pull out the envelope, the little envelope package thing.
It comes with operating instructions.
Operating instructions.
Yeah.
And I go, I look at this microphone, which, Marcus, would you let us put a picture of this thing up on our website?
Sure.
Could we do that? Because people need to see this thing, because it's a real work. That's it. It's a real work.
It really is.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, no problem. I'm not doing this really to make money with it. It's just more, for everybody's, use. Advancement in that technology. So it's not something I'm trying to hide or protect or anything.
And that's really cool. Thank you, first of all, for giving us
this
new piece of technology. It's amazing. So,
you're welcome.
Without further ado, though, I'm going to try to read this thing. I'm going to probably destroy it, but I'm going to do my best. Because even if I was like do it George Norrie style and like totally nail it and be perfect with it, I don't think people would still get it. But hopefully people will learn how to understand this stuff down the road. Here we go. First of all, we have the title, which I've already read. We have the picture of the little device and the device status. It's experimental.
Right.
The objective. To detect and record subtle energy manifestations in the subacoustic frequency range generated by non-physical entities of energy systems more commonly known as EVPs. I'm letting people think for a second. Okay. I'm not dead air, I know, but I'm letting people go, huh? Right? That's what I did when I read this. Now, the device description. Okay, I got to get ready for this because this is going to be like the title bout for me right here. I'm going to try. Guys, you ready?
I'm ready.
Device description. At the core of this device is a pure silicon crystal, triangular metallic object jetting out of the end that acts as a subtle energy receiver. Under the silicon crystal is embedded two beryllium crystals, in metallics emeralds, set in a sea of gold-plated silicon modules that act as subtle energy capacitors, accumulating and storing subtle energy within each module. Or is that nodule, Marcus?
Nodules, yeah.
Nodule, okay, I'm sorry, saying it wrong. Nodule, until it reaches critical saturation and discharges through the collapsed magnetic vortex in the center of the transducer coils. More silence. Because we're not done yet. Okay? We're not done yet. We got a little more to go here. The subtle energy itself is drawn from what is called a zero-point matrix by the fluid condensers made of beryllium crystals, which are stimulated by an extremely powerful magnetic field that has been inverted and dynamically collapsed within itself at the center of the device. This induces small vortexes around the beryllium crystals and causes them to pull subtle energy from the buffering zone between hyperdimensional planes, commonly referred to as the veil between the worlds. It is postulated that conscious or non-conscious entities have the ability to modulate this form of energy, thereby generating an electric field inside the transducer coils, stimulating the microphone directly.
Hey, you did good.
Did I do good?
Yeah.
That thing scared the hell out of me, Marcus. When I read this thing, I'm like, what is he giving us? Is this plutonium? Is this what is it? What are we gonna do with this thing? Are we gonna be able to, like, level fields of corn with this thing? What are we gonna be? What are we gonna do with this piece of equipment?
Yeah, I think that's why I told you that in an email or something that the device is safe to use because I'm worried about getting your radiation suits out and stuff.
Dude, I was looking after I read that, I was looking at the box to see if there was any biohazard symbols or something on the side or something like that.
This is interesting technology because that's a very, very good description, by the way, of the device. I mean, it doesn't tell you how to put one together, but it tells you the different elements that are in there, and it gives an idea of why you placed the things on the device that you did and in the order that you did.
Yeah.
We'll look at the picture.
Now, we've been so busy, Marcus, that unfortunately we have not had a chance to take this thing out in the field yet.
I don't know why we don't just plug it right into the board right now.
You know, I thought about that. Would it blow it up if we plugged it into our board, Marcus?
No, it's just it would no more than a regular dynamic microphone would.
Maybe we'll plug it in next week and like broadcast a show with it and see, you know, see what happens with that.
Yeah, that might be interesting.
Regardless of that, though, we have not been able to get out in the field yet and use this thing. We're planning an investigation probably coming towards next weekend, like maybe Friday night or something like that. And obviously, this is going to be our focal piece of equipment to use that night and experiment with. What I want to do with this piece of equipment you've so graciously given to us is I want to actually set up another page on the website to talk about this to basically feature this piece of equipment and our findings from it and see and our impressions on what we've done, what we did with this equipment, and maybe get your feedback also, Mark.
What's interesting is there's another field that we've been
playing past the hot potato envelope.
We're playing past the hot potato here. Okay, where was I? Oh yeah, remember when we went to the Sally House?
Yeah,
and Frank,
John
had this gizmo that he would point a microphone at.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
That was John you're talking about, and John. I believe it was just another form that those guys really, the Indiana Ghost Trekker people really took ITC and like ran with it.
Yes, they
Sean
have.
And John and people like that.
Was it Ron?
No, it was John.
For sure?
I'm sure it was John.
Okay.
They've been building all types of little gizmos. And they actually got some of the germanium chips. You're talking about germanium diodes?
The germanium diodes,
that they were using on this equipment. And John brought this piece of equipment to experiment with it that night. He assembled it himself. He built the platform
right.
and everything.
Right.
Completely handmade from top to bottom. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, mm-hmm. The germanium diode. Okay. So we've got the ITC, folks who are studying ITC, instrumental transcommunication, they're running around building germanium diodes and using these things in their research. And here we have an interesting and very, very well thought out and planned thing with silicon and beryllium and magnetism. And I'm very impressed because both of these things are using, different elements and bringing different elements to bear on pretty much the same goal. Marcus, which one has the best chance of succeeding, I guess? why would germanium be more useful or less useful? Why is silicon, beryllium, and magnetism more or less useful?
Well, they work actually on two completely different principles. The idea behind the silicon beryllium, the silicon, first of all, most people have never even seen silicon metal before, but that's pure silicon. And the idea for that is primarily to capture, it acts like an antenna. It captures subtle energy modulations. The beryllium technology is something I had been experimenting with different crystals, metallic crystals, and I used germanium also, and I was trying to stimulate those in a magnetic field, and I tried for months, and I wasn't having much success, and one day I accidentally reversed the fields; they were inverted, which means all the poles, it's surrounded by three different magnetic components, and the poles were all pointing the same direction, but these pointed inwards, like north to north to north.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the magnetic field just collapsed, all the pressure, the magnetic lines collapsed at the center, and that's when I started noticing, the equipment I had set up to measure the energy coming out, it started going off the chart. And that's actually how I discovered that with the beryllium. Which beryllium, what I use, is not metallic form. It's actual emeralds. There's two emeralds underneath that. But the two kind of work on different principles. The germanium takes the energy in the air. It takes the electromagnetic energy and works with that. But it comes indirect, and that's what I was trying to do, was to boost the power up. to, I started with the theory of how EVPs work, the theory of what the veil is, the actual veil itself, the buffering zone. And that's what I started to do, was to find a way to cause the crystals to pulsate energy, energize so that they radiated energy. And that's how all that really got started. So, I would say I've tried using germanium, and I haven't got a whole lot of success with it. It could have been my equipment, because I went off into another area. But this, like I said, I've been working on it for a couple of years, but I haven't really had too much of a chance myself to put into use, except for some of the EVPs that you've heard, and I've got a few more that I'm not really quite ready to release those yet. But,
right. Well, and just so you know, we have opportunities.
Yeah, so that's why I sent that to you.
I'm glad this is in our hands, because we will put it to good use. And one thing that I'm thinking of is, I wonder if there's a dead spot here in the winery, because what I'd love to do is run it into a dead spot and leave that microphone on the entire Sunday, one Sunday while we're recording, and and see if anything comes through. But we'd have to find a spot here in the winery within cord range, and plug it in and see if it, because we're sitting here listening intently, right, through the headphones for 2 hours. It would be interesting, and
yes, it would.
And
that's
see if see if EVP, see if we can get anyone from the other side to join the show. But at the same time, we do go out and about a lot, and there's actually several trips that we have planned in the next week, next weekend, I should say. So it'll be very interesting to put this to use.
Yeah, and I'll be taking it out. See, the first one I had, I really had to plug into power and everything. I really couldn't do too much with it, because it can't be battery operated.
Right.
And then this is the second generation, the one I sent you, and I have one similar to it. I've got another one that I'm working on, but I'll be taking it out next month too. There's a few places around here that I'm going to be trying it out in. But so it really hasn't had too much field testing yet.
Well, we'll put it to use, and we've got a couple things coming up next month where it would be interesting to apply this to a haunted location and see what happens. So there's some interesting things going on. I'll have to tell you offline, because I don't think plans are fully formed for one of these events, but if it becomes fully formed, I think even you'll be excited about it. So we'll find out. Why? Obviously, this took a lot of thought and a lot of experimentation. How much time have you put into the development of this theory? Are we talking hundreds of hours or thousands?
Yeah. See, this, I've been interested in the paranormal since, in fact, you and I have similar interests. I started back when I was in, I think, junior high, or I just started high school, trying to find information on the paranormal. So I've actually been doing this since I was 16. As far as this research goes, I come home from work and eat dinner and go downstairs, and I spend about the next 4 to 6 hours, working or on the computer, different things regarding this. So I've been doing that for 2 years, so there's hundreds of hours involved with it.
This is a fully formed idea. I mean, this isn't like, I've had ideas too, and I've been like, oh, I have an idea, I'm going to build, and I actually did this, I'm going to build, what are those bent sticks?
Divining rods.
Yeah, I'm going to build divining rods. So I went out and I bought 2 steel rods and a bunch of, wooden circle things. I don't even know what they're called.
Beads.
And I drilled them out and I put them on, and that was what I built. That was my only fully formed idea. And I just don't tend to fully form any of my other ideas and actually go through and build it, because I'm, a jack of all trades and a master of none. So I'm really interested in this device, because it's fully formed.
This device is also a byproduct of a bigger project that I've been working on. What I actually started working on was a real-time device similar to the Spiritcom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all this, you know, technology and stuff came from. It was from working on that device, which I'm probably about 2 months away from, you know, throwing the switch on the first prototype. And this device uses a similar technology, but it's designed not only to receive EVPs, but it's designed to send them through the veil into the other side. And it's a little different than that. In fact, you know, hopefully I won't burn down my house doing it, because the device generates 1,000,000 volts of electricity between two metal plates.
Wow.
But I haven't named that, and I haven't named the device you have. You guys can find a good name for it.
Well, maybe it'll name itself when we're out and about.
Yep.
We'll find out.
Something other than the Doug Beater.
That was the Doug Strangler, actually.
Yeah, oh, the Strangler.
Yeah. But, you also talk about paranormal things, and you do a segment of a radio show, don't you?
Yeah, it's called The Shaman's Brew. It's on the website WPBN, and it's only airs once a month. You know, it's not a weekly thing. And I do anywhere from a, you know, half hour to 40 minute show, and it's just on various, you know, topics. A lot of times it involves shamanism, and in fact one of my shows was the investigation I did in Spokane, where I captured those EVPs. That was one of the shows I actually recorded the show from, that location. And
do they have archives up on?
No, I have all the shows, but
okay.
They only keep, I think, 2 or 3 months worth of the shows on the site.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's...
Because they're, we keep 4 years' worth, and...
I don't know how you do it.
It's
a huge server.
It's a lot of bandwidth, and it's a lot of disk space. But, we keep 4 years' worth up, and So a couple months, I can see why they do... I know exactly why they do it. But interesting. And what's the URL for that, the internet location?
That is... www. I better get it out. It's not my site.
Well, I know it's linked up on our website.
Yeah,
Sacred
you can
soil?
Get there from. In fact, that's the easiest way to get there is go to my website, which is www.sacredsoils.com, and then you click on the Shaman's Brew, and it takes you to list all the past shows.
Right.
But they're not archived there or anything.
Right. Well, excellent. Also, you're busy, because in addition to building these gizmos, you also are getting a book published soon, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to be watching for that, and we want to talk to you about it when it comes out.
Yeah, that's when it gets a little bit closer. In fact, I've actually got 3 other books in the works, but they probably won't appear until next year sometime. But I've got one I'm hoping to see out probably towards the end of this year.
Ah. Well, then you've got a show coming up with Ghostly Talk, because we want to talk about it when it comes out. That's for sure, because you obviously keep busy with all this stuff.
Yeah, too busy.
Too busy. Okay, let's talk. Now, we got a general feeling for who you are and what you do, right? This gizmo. How often have you actually used it? You used it in that one investigation, you said, right? Or the prototype, right?
Yeah, I used the prototype. Well, I used the prototype and the first time I was there. And it's in Spokane, which Spokane's about a half hour from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time, I used the one that you have.
Okay.
And then I also used it again at the Cataldo mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in March. And I haven't, oddly enough, I haven't had time to go anywhere else, but, around here, you know, just using it in my lab and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have some things coming up. I'm going to be using it. There's a place called 1,000 Steps, and it's like an urban legend in Spokane. It's a Greenwood Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrace, 4 different hills. And you start walking up these concrete steps that have been there forever, and about halfway up, most people start feeling apprehension and fear, and
or heart
very
attack.
Few people, you know, can actually make it up to the top. At least that's how the legend goes.
Only at night do you feel this, or anything?
Well, the problem is that the cemetery closes at 8:30,
mm-hmm.
so you can only be there at night in the wintertime.
Okay.
And I'm working on getting permission to go in at night for, you know, the whole night. At the fourth terrace, at the fourth level, the steps lead up to a cave that's in the side of the mountain there. And that's their rumors and legends about people that did rituals there years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, some kind of rituals. But now the state has put a gate around all that, and so, you know, high fence, you can't get into it. But I'm working on getting permission to get through and, you know, bring some people in and investigate that and try some of this equipment out. If I can make it up the steps, that is.
I would want to take the escalator version myself. I would feel
that's
something.
A lot of steps.
Yeah, I think halfway up I'd feel something other than fear and apprehension.
A heart attack.
Yeah, I'd feel my heart pounding and my left arm going numb, you know. But what the rituals. Now you've mentioned rituals in this cave, okay?
Yeah.
You're familiar with rituals, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be in a cave for them to work, right? Why do I was trying to explain to somebody the other day why rituals and magic and all these things work. Okay. Why do they work? Or why wouldn't they work? What's your take on that?
Well, the rituals that they were doing there, for example, you know, supposedly were satanic and all this, and, you know, I don't know what truth there is to that, but rituals themselves are usually done for two reasons, and it depends on what your belief system is, but they're either done to honor deity, you know, honor a god or goddess or whatever your belief system is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Catholic Church does rituals. They do their masses and things like that. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, little different techniques. You don't run around naked or anything. But there are rituals. Where
well, some that. Of them do, but they don't talk about them anymore. Yeah.
Those are the private rituals.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, a ritual for honoring, you know, deity is one thing. That's what it's intended to do. The other type of ritual where you try to raise power and perform, you know, different magic or different, you want different psychic events to happen is what's happening. Magic is nothing more than a psychic science that hasn't, you know, been acknowledged yet. And that type of ritual, you raise energy. The different things they do, like with candles and incense, dancing. There are some rituals where people do dancing around a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And those are actually intended to raise psychic energy. And they call it a cone of power. And they raise this energy up. They're focusing with their intent, which intent actually, you know, I can talk about later how much time we have, but it's part of EVP too, using intent properly. But anyway, in the rituals, they raise the energy, focus it with their intent, which intent is like finally tuning in focus of awareness on a particular desired result. That's what the intent is. And then they release the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're basically sending out, whether it's telepathic or, you know, it's psychic energy. In other words, they're sending it out to a target. That's the purpose of a ritual. There's nothing really evil, you know, involved in it. There are people that do evil stuff too, but
right.
And a ritual can be done in a basement. It can be done on a sacred site. It's like next year I'm supposed to meet with Adj up on Tara Hill, and I'm part of a four-person ritual that's supposed to welcome the summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a, you know, tradition. It's not for raising any power. But it can be done with a group of people, or it can be done with just one person.
And I'm wondering now if there's perhaps a simple, relatively simple, non-denominational ritual kind of thing you could do or say when starting to take EVPs, whether it be from a microcassette recorder or a digital recorder or an advanced gizmo, or, you know, with beryllium, or any of these kinds of things that people are experimenting with, because there's going to be two things that people want, right? When they're taking EVPs, they're going to want protection from bad things happening, and they're also going to want the potential for success in their experiment.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because when my friend Robert Bruce was on your show, he talked about protection and different things. I don't think he gave any details, about how to actually, do it or what to think or anything. But what you're saying about some type of ritual, or actually what it is a state of mind.
Okay.
That's one of the other things I'm working on is a CD that will actually teach you. You know how to create that state of mind, and you can do it just by snapping your fingers once you've learned how to do it. And what it does is it focuses your intent. And what you have to do is to basically state in your mind what it is you want to do. You want to communicate with a non-physical entity, and you have to fix that in your mind, and you fix that with visualization, and you have to alter your consciousness a little bit. That's what ritual does. It can be done. I'm trying to merge science and ritual like that, so that it is non-denominational. And what you do is you focus your intent, alter your consciousness, and that's done. Actually, it's almost like the CD will have a hypnotic part of it that actually trains you to meditate. When you meditate, you alter your consciousness, and then you fire it. It's like releasing your intent, out, and like a ring of white light just radiating out from you. And that goes out, and if there's any entities around, that's what they use to communicate. At least this has been my teachings, and my belief is that they use the power of intent and conscious thought. They can receive that, they can send it. It's just that most people here can't receive it. Just there's so much chatter going on inside your head constantly, the internal dialogue, that it just blocks everything out. So unless you learn to lower that down some to quiet your internal dialogue, you're not going to pick up on anything they're sending.
Right.
But you can still send out. There are techniques you can use to send this out. I use those techniques on all these EVPs.
I want to remind people that the word ritual, okay, some people might be cringing at that because it has some connotations to it. Because whenever you hear the word ritual, you usually hear satanic ritual, right?
Yeah.
We want to open up our minds just a little bit to think about this, okay? A ritual can be something and I'm not a practitioner of magic, the M-A-G-I-C-K, okay? So I'm not a practitioner myself. Where with the candles and everything like that. I just know that people do it, okay? So I just want to open up some minds here, including my own, and remind people that rituals can be as simple as and in everyday life as, for example, before a football game, you know that the coach is in there talking to the team, right? And he's saying things. So we're talking about everything from the multimillionaires in the NFL to the people who get nothing in the sub leagues, that kind of thing. So to high school football teams, excuse me, the coach is in there and he's saying, "We're the best, rah! We're gonna rock 'em and sock 'em and rah!" I'm not a cheerleader.
Yeah. Hey, you're doing good.
I am the worst cheerleader on the planet. But and how much do you want this, rah? And that's what they're doing. They're in there. They're getting themselves in. I think I just made Bonnie fall out of her chair.
An altered state of mind.
But that's what they're doing. They're altering their moods. They're altering their state of mind. They're getting everybody focused on an intent. On their intent, they want to go out there. They want to win the game, right?
Yep.
They're trying to affect reality. And that's what, from my understanding, a ritual could be that. It could be as simple as that, and that's not an everyday example for anybody who's, you know, not an NFL player, but it's an example that you've heard of, you've seen, you know it goes on, right? And that's acceptable, okay? That's a ritual. Also a ritual every single Sunday at church.
Yep.
Every blue-haired granny who goes to church sits there for, you know, 2 hours of ritual. And it just happens, and it's acceptable. So rituals do not have to be satanic rituals. They are used in everyday life. And so the kind of ritual that I'm talking about, the kind of ritual I think you're talking about, is the kind that you can add to your... Bonnie has not recovered. Newsflash. You can add to your repertoire of tools to go out and help ghost hunt, hopefully more successfully.
Yep. In fact, that's exactly what the point of the CD was that I'm working on, or the CD is. It still has a ways to go yet, but I'm going to be sending you guys a copy of that, too, probably within the next week.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that, because... The more tools, the better. And I'm not afraid of rituals, because I know that a lot of them are good, and we use a lot of, you know, that kind of thing in our everyday lives.
Yeah. And what I'm sending you, and, you know, including the CDs, those really aren't anything to do with rituals or magic. They're, you know, it's a ritual in the sense that you just described it, but it's science is what it is. It uses... altered states of awareness that
wait, I have to interrupt for 1 second. You know what I would say? Here's why everybody's laughing. I don't know if you're in the chat room right now.
No.
Okay. Here's why everybody's laughing so hard. When I was saying things like, you know, we're going to go out and win Ra, right? Well, Ra happens to be the name of an ancient Egyptian god. Well, that's not what I was meaning.
You're doing Egyptian rituals.
Yes, it's an ancient Egyptian ritual just before NFL games.
Yep.
Only they were like, only back then they were like bird, kind of a Y instead of NFL, you know. But, okay, I'm sorry. I totally got us off track now.
Bonnie's left the room.
Bonnie's actually left now. So I apologize, Marcus. I didn't mean to interrupt
so
ferociously, but I understand why everybody's laughing.
Put a fork in her cheese, Don. She's useless to us now.
Oh man, yeah, that was who said that about the ancient Egyptian god?
That was Phobos.
Okay.
That sounds like Phobos.
It sure is. Okay. Yeah. Hi, Phobos.
Good job, Phobos.
I don't even remember what we were talking about now.
Football.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's what all this stuff is science, you know. Reputable universities are researching this. You know, there's projects the government's funding along this line that they won't tell us about.
Mm-hmm.
But
and there's also those other things, the mass consciousness thing. While not exactly a ritual, you know, because it doesn't have a set format, or you don't do the same thing over and over, or you don't have elements that you bring into it. What you do, what the mass consciousness experiments that people do, and I know George Norrie has done, although he's, you know, he's actually affected the weather. And, you know, with
George is awesome.
With his, you know, multitudes of Coast to Coast listeners, I believe they have affected the weather. And what he does is he says, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. On this and that day, at this and that time, we're all going to focus our intent on, you know, we are going to want that hurricane to diminish into a, you know, into a light breeze or whatever, and everybody all at the same time does that. That's a lot of you know, theoretical, but it's theoretical, but it's a lot of energy focused on one outcome.
Yep.
So what happens is they believe, and it sure looked like they affected the weather one time. So and the forest fires, they did that with the forest fires that were burning like 3 years ago out in California and out west. You know, they did that with forest fires too.
Yeah, it's amazing what the power of consciousness can do.
Mm-hmm.
George, you know, George is in a position that George and Art both that you know, most people you know can never achieve. They command such an audience, and and the people are into that kind of thing too. It's not like somebody listening to a football game or something, but he has the ability to do a lot more than you know. Maybe he realizes it. I don't know, but it's an awesome power that he has at his fingertips there.
And yeah, and also another thing that Art studies, as far as I remember, I believe he studies the I think the people at Princeton or somewhere have that random number generator, and they watch it for non-randomness, and when they get spikes of non-randomness, something big. The theory is that coincides with something big going down, such as the 9/11. You know, it had a spike there because all of a sudden everybody's thinking along the same lines, you know, and that affects even something as arbitrary as a random number generator. So this mass consciousness kind of stuff, you know, you take your intent and focus it. You take millions upon millions upon millions of people's intent and focus it at the same time, and that's like a big release. So.
Yeah,
and something.
And these are minds that are, you know, just normal. You know, they're untrained. You train a large quantity of these minds in the principles of altered consciousness and in how to project intent, and you've got a force that's actually scary.
Mm-hmm. So but, that's why they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
He experimented to be like, okay, that's enough experimenting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So rituals happen a lot, and focus of intent happens a lot, and that's why this stuff could work, and it could make your ghost hunting better if you learned these techniques. Is what I am theorizing right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I agree. But and there's rituals two that are used for summoning, and that's where you actually call on these entities. People that use Ouija boards, for example, they're calling, they're summoning with their intent. They don't really know what they're doing, but they summon different entities through, and it's, you know, usually unless the people are bad or evil, you know, the Ouija board's not going to be bad or evil. That's just up to the person. It's like you give somebody a gun. You know, you give a criminal a gun, they're going to use it to harm. And you give anybody else a gun, they'll use it as a tool.
Well, as a matter of fact, Ouija boards happens to be something that I talked about on Coast to Coast. And I never in a million years intended... Well, I never in a million years thought I'd ever be on Coast to Coast. But I never in a million years intended to talk about Ouija boards on Coast to Coast. But somehow the subject came up. Oh, yeah, a caller had called in. And I couldn't remember Pearl Curran's name.
Yep.
And I remembered it, of course, later, and I emailed you. I said, I can't believe I didn't remember Pearl Curran's name. And you emailed back, oh, yeah, that was... And you had her full name and her bio and everything. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a subject which I'm familiar with, and I've studied, and I really do believe that it's a tool. It's marketed as a game, and I think that's unfortunate. But it's a tool, and it's usually used in an inappropriate manner by inappropriate people. And that's just why it's gotten the onslaught of negativity attached to it.
Yeah, that and the Hollywood movies that you
and
Witchboard and
yes,
things like
thank
that.
Thank you, Tawny Kitaane, yes.
Uh-huh.
Star of Witchboard and Witchboard 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, not my favorite of movies, although they were pretty good. I mean, you know, Hollywood-wise, they were entertaining. But in reality, I don't think they were very realistic.
No, I've been doing this stuff and dealing with people that use Ouija boards and you know for years, and I worked out at UCLA for a little while, and you know, no one I know of has ever been hurt or damaged. I think you hear the people talking about the Ouija board being evil and their house being possessed and all this. I think that's just overactive imagination.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also It also provides a convenient... Here's a theory of mine. It provides a convenient outlet. If you have something to focus on, okay, oh my gosh, there's a Ouija board in my house, right? I'm focused on it now. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this instrument of the devil is in my house. And why couldn't you subconsciously be causing things to happen, to go wrong?
Yeah, good point.
Because if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, right, you're like, "Arr, I'm grouchy today. Nothing's going right for me." 90% of the time, the rest of the day is going to be awful as well, because you've already pre-decided that you're going to have a bad day. And if you pre-decide that you're going to have a bad day, you're going to do everything subconsciously you possibly can to have a bad day. So, same thing. There's an evil Ouija board in my house, and I'm going to have a haunted house.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go.
It's just, you know, what you believe is what usually follows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reality follows your belief system.
We have 2 minutes. So, let's get, let's talk real quick. You have a book coming out, so everyone should be watching sacredsoils.com. Right?
Yeah.
For that, that's coming out in the winter?
Should be in the winter sometime, yeah.
Okay. And then, and also sacredsoils.com takes you to The Shaman's Brew. I think I called it The Shaman's Apprentice. That was like a movie or something.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But yeah, The Shaman's Brew, which is a segment of Sacred Soils, right? Or of...
It's actually WPBN.
WPBN, okay.
Which is an internet radio also.
Exactly, exactly. So everybody, give it a listen. I really think that people should open up your minds, expand your horizons, listen to all this stuff. That's why independent media is out there. So sacredsoils.com, everything leads from there, right?
Yep.
What's coming up?
And I have a new website coming online. It's www.n-i-p-s.com. Well, my daughter did the same thing.
I think we might want to talk offline about that name. I don't know if that was the most fortunate choice of
initial. I know. Well, I didn't actually plan it that way. But especially the North Idaho Paranormal Society. I'm kind of playing on the nips part a little bit.
I don't know if I went to n-i-p-s.com if I would have expected to find the North Idaho Paranormal Society there. Okay.
I couldn't figure out why my daughter and her boyfriend were just rolling on the floor laughing. What's wrong with you people?
I think Bonnie has officially gone into laughter overload. She's holding her hand over her mouth and she's trying to... Yeah.
I'll send Bonnie a t-shirt.
I wonder if Coconut Monkey could design that t-shirt.
I'll get him on it.
Well, I can imagine the way he designed it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So we'll watch for that as well. I think we might want to close the show.
Maybe a good idea before we get ourselves in trouble here.
My goodness. Thank you, Marcus Leader, for being on Ghostly Talk. And, of course, you have an open slot. We're going to the three-hour format starting next week, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, starting next week. So any, anything you need to talk about, anything you want, you just let us know. And we get you on because you're one of our elite ninja squad of field reporters, and plus you're doing so much work in the paranormal field. We all appreciate it, and we want to get you on. Okay?
Well, it's been an honor being on the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate being here.
Thank you.
And I will try to uphold my duties to the lords of Ghostly Talk.
As Scott L. would have put it. So thank you so much. Hang on tight. Hang on tight. Don't hang up. Don't go nowhere. Okay?
Yes, I'll be here.
So that's it. That's a very interesting edition of Ghostly Talk. That was, what, the last one of...
The two-hour format.
Last one of the two-hour format. So it'll be 3 CDs now after this. We keep adding more and more CDs.
We said the three-hour tour. I mean,
the three-hour tour. I mean, show. Yeah. Oh, that was in the email. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. I hope you learned, opened your mind, expanded your mind. Keep learning. Keep finding stuff. Send us links. Send us all kinds of stuff because... we're currently going through tons and tons of email, and the more the better, because I want to learn too. So thanks, everybody. This has been Ghostly Talk, the last of the two-hour format. We'll be on the air next Sunday. from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Talk to you then.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
The media becomes the media.